Long before COVID-19 had a name, lived two men, Sabin and Salk, pioneers in biology. In the midst of their innovation, a dark force sought out to destroy the United States. Polio. Sabin and Salk fought tirelessly to develop a vaccine for polio in order to stop its reign over American healthcare and politics once and for all. In 1789, London physician Michael Underwood reported on a disease supposedly new to mankind. Underwood described it as a debility of the lower extremities. In other words, the disease would weaken the lower parts of the body, namely the spine. This was the beginning of our modern understanding of infantile paralysis, better known as polio. While the threat of polio and other diseases was rising, the world was responding accordingly. As population in Europe and the US grew, so did infant mortality. This increase in infant mortality drew attention to the striking issues of poor sanitation. Thus, across the globe, practices like regulating sewage, cleaning the water supply, and the housing of the animals spread quickly. Now, one might think that these actions would have prevented the spread of disease. This would be true for most diseases, but polio was special. While many infectious diseases began to decline by the end of the 1800s, incidence of polio grew to epidemic proportions. Polio kept rising rapidly during the early 1900s in urban areas. New York City had been struck with the terrors of polio. The Brooklyn area was officially declared to have a polio epidemic on June 17, 1916. The city scrambled to prevent polio's reach. Newspapers began to publish a list of addresses and names of people who were infected. The social state of a once bustling city had come to an abrupt halt. Most public places, from beaches to cinemas, were closed during that fateful summer. Despite aggressive preventative measures, polio managed to steal the lives of 2,000 people in New York City and 6,000 in total across the U.S. in 1916. The polio epidemic did not wane. Each summer, for decades, cases soared to thousands. Every year, more and more people were becoming familiar with the telltale signs of polio: fever, fatigue, and headache. One of those people happened to be soon to become President Franklin Delano Roosevelt. On August 11, 1921, the usual summer day in Campobello Island, Canada, FDR faced quite a disaster. FDR had felt tired and a bit sick after hours of sailing and swimming, nothing out of the ordinary. But suddenly, FDR developed shivers, aching in his legs, and a fever of 102 degrees Fahrenheit. His legs then gave way beneath him while stumbling across the hallway of his vacation home. FDR had faced his initial symptoms of polio. For a rising politician, the public could not be aware of FDR's polio. He had to fundamentally change the way he portrayed himself. In 1921, FDR made the decision to step away from the limelight and focus on his rehabilitation and recovery. He began to swim consistently every week. Slowly but surely, he became more confident in carrying his weight. Once he felt like he could properly maneuver his body in water, FDR set the goal to walk his quarter-mile driveway with ease, a goal which he would sadly never achieve. Nonetheless, to assist in this goal, he was fitted with braces for his legs in 1922. He also tried involving his family in his rehabilitation process. Throughout his recovery process, FDR was fond of going to Warm Springs, Georgia. He went to a special recovery facility with healing waters that were supposed to help him with his symptoms of polio. FDR certainly had attacked his polio with tenacity. However, this led him to face a dilemma. Either he continued with rehabilitation and possibly had the chance to walk again, or end his political hiatus. On one hand, Eleanor Roosevelt and FDR's close friends were urging him to reconsider politics, whereas on the other hand, his mother was adamant on making sure FDR prioritized his health. Eventually, after persuasion from both sides, FDR made his comeback. After his return, he faced a number of issues while trying to adjust his life as a politician with polio. One specific challenge was trying to conceal his wheelchairs and braces when he needed to address audiences. Thus, FDR decided to get custom-made braces and wheelchairs that were inconspicuous and allowed for him to still get assistance with movement. Throughout FDR's presidency, he made significant strides in philanthropy regarding polio. In 1934, FDR started to throw birthday balls in which high-class individuals would come to dance and donate. This trend spread across the country and helped raise money for rehabilitation centers like Warm Springs. This habit of charity eventually led to FDR creating the Foundation for Infantile Paralysis in 1938. This would become one of America's greatest players in the fight against polio. The city where it all started, New York City. It had been facing debilitating outbreaks, but despite this, a talented young scientist emerged from the College of Medicine at New York University. His name was Jonas Salk. At NYU, he had done work with his mentor, Thomas Francis Jr., and later joined him at the University of Michigan to develop vaccines for influenza. He left Francis Jr. in 1947 to become the head of the Virus Research Laboratory at the University of Pittsburgh. He began to investigate the ongoing polio disease.